You're wrong.
And I want you to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because he helped Joshua fight the Battle of Jericho. Yes. He helped Daniel get out the lion's den. He helped Gilligan get off the island. Lord.
Closing main breaker.
And you know what that means, boys and girls.
It's time for the Jimmy Doan Show.
No!
Yes, it is the Jimmy Doan Show. We're back. And do we still have a caller on the line?
Yeah, it looks that way.
I'm hanging on tooth and nail.
It's our D.C. correspondent.
Our D.C. correspondent. We actually have a dial-in line now.
Am I the first caller on this dial-in line?
You are numero uno.
I am honored and overwhelmed.
As well you should be.
As well I should.
That's right. So EJ is up in D.C. doing his chocolatiering.
Yeah, well, you're at the Ron Paul fundraiser right now, right?
Yeah, that's right. Here in Georgetown, a place called Garrett's on M Street. And we've got about 70 individuals here trying to raise money for the campaign, buying things that are being auctioned off, and just looking to meet with the folks that they've been in touch with through emails for months and months now. And
hey, I heard you're going to stick around Paul's head in a pile of goo.
No, if he'll let me, I'll put straws up his nose so he can breathe, and then stick his head in some silicone so I can make a copy of him and make it out of chocolate.
Wow.
And we're going to auction it off, raise money for the campaign. Not that they need my money, because they've hit $16,400,000.
Wow. How much more time they got to go?
It's taking place all evening, all night. There's another hour and a half.
Yeah, cool. Well,
that's in one day?
No. That's total.
Okay.
In one day, they're trying to get a million. And that's,
right.
There's a bunch of these... They're tea parties, what they're calling. They're calling some of them pork parties. And they're making up boxes with individual egregious expenses the government has taken on. And then they're tossing them overboard, allowing the crowd to kick them around as they spit on the expenses.
There you go.
Wasteful spending.
Wasteful spend. Hard to believe. And in Washington, D.C., of all places.
Of all places.
You'd think there'd be a few less people, since the majority of these people here, their livelihoods depend on this sport.
I was going to say. I mean, I grew up in Washington, D.C. I can tell you now. I know exactly where you are. I went down there quite often. I could walk down there very easily.
I think I see your footprint right here. Is that your vomit there?
That's right. The vomit certainly is there. I can guarantee you that.
If you go out to the sidewalk, his name is carved in the original cement.
Yeah, the original cement. That's right.
Yeah.
I'll put up some bricks here and look for it.
Yeah.
So what are we going to talk about today, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah. Okay, we got a lot of things. We got a lot of things to talk about.
Anybody have any fans shout out?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Let me a couple of things. That's right. Got to do that first. We did want to say hello to Tall Michelle.
Tall Michelle.
Hey!
I always loved Tall Michelle, and of course I got a Christmas card from her.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a photo?
Yes.
Another photo.
Well, let me tell you, it's even better than that, because it was a photo with her and two of her girlfriends, not her husband.
Ooh.
And I don't think I still have a chance.
But you keep working, and next year she'll send you herself and her girlfriend.
That's it. You know, I'm waiting. I want to say hello to Ruth and Edith, and also to
Bart.
Bart. Mm-hmm. Bart from UCLA, apparently new listener.
Yeah.
He's a law student and everything, so we have our, of course, Counselor Curtis is here.
Hey, how you doing?
And we're going to talk some law stuff tonight about whether you should divulge your password or not.
Heck no.
Heck no. Okay, good. That's it. Take care of that. Okay. And that's good. Okay, we're done with the Jimmy Doan Show. And, of course, Engineer Eric did want to... do we have anybody? Who else?
I wanted to say thanks to Ziggy for linking to the Jimmy Doan site from his site. It's... ENCAOUA.net, ENCAOUA.net. And I wanted to, I noticed we were number two on Google for fun talk show.
Fun talk show. That's exactly what I think when I think of the Jimmy Doan show.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because I started to put an ad in a magazine calling us the number one podcast, libertarian podcast, and somebody writes back and says, well, how can that be? Or, you know, Neil Bortz is ahead of you and all that. I'm thinking, well, he doesn't have a podcast, so.
Yeah.
And the way I look at it is this. If you type in Libertarian Podcast in Google, we are always number one.
Hey,
that makes us number one as far as
that's
I'm concerned.
All
that matters. We're number one.
Hey, hello. We got new listeners in from Mozambique this time.
Mozambique.
And of course, from Rostov, Russian Federation.
Oh,
and Istanbul.
You know, what's interesting is, we're headed for a new record month. It looks like number one. And number two, only about 32% of our, that come to the website, actually, only about 32% or 35% are repeats. Everybody else is new. So we've got a bunch of new people. And obviously, hey, pode mina venari kiruna. I've got to always say something in Swedish, you know. Just,
to our Karuna crowd.
That's right, to the Karuna crowd. And they've been hitting us regularly. I mean, some people like 82 times a day or something. And then Lund, we have one down in South Sweden, too. So I want to say hello to them. One of these days, we'll do a Swedish podcast. Anyway,
we can all just sit there and nod our heads.
Right. That's right. As Jimmy says, javitala lite granem sferia. Okay, so much for that.
I wanted to give a quick shout-out to Love It Williams too. If you're a turkey fan, whether you like to hunt, shoot, or eat, or just study or look at, anyway, if you go to lovettwilliams.com, LovettWilliams.com,
just love EJ's encounter with them. So you shoot the turkeys.
He's explaining about how beautiful these birds are, and then you take people out and hunt them.
They're rare. They're endangered.
That's right. Yeah. Well, they almost were our national animal, our national bird.
Right. Benjamin Franklin was pushing for that.
Should have been. Because they're smarter.
Led Zeppelin had a gig too.
Smarter.
They played the
O2. Oh, that's right. They had their big thing.
Said it was a really good show, too. Hopefully they'll put a tour together. That'd be kind of cool. And I heard Misty 3000 is coming back on the air.
Yes. Well, no, it's not actually Misty 3000. It's the group that did it.
That did it. Okay.
And they're coming out. And apparently they're supposed to come out next year. Of course, this Tuesday is a religious holiday. You know that, right?
Right, because the Simpsons get
released. The Simpsons DVD comes out.
So, a religious holiday.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's... So I'm going to... Jimmy's going to be down there first in line. I tell you, 1201 at Walmart or someplace like that.
Speaking of religious stuff, did you see the church sign generator?
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Go to, like, churchsigngenerator.com. You can make up your own Jeeba stuff. It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. And they have a whole selection of places.
Oh, yeah. If you go to the actual website called says-it.com, says-it.com, there's a bunch of neat stuff. You know, if you're listening to Jimmy Don's show, see you're on the inside track, you can go in and really freak some people out making some stuff for them. And they'll even put it to a coffee mug or whatever you want, some magnets or something like that.
Those are too good.
It's fairly reasonable stuff, actually. We should probably get an ad from them or something. You know?
Yeah, I wrote him already. He said he doesn't have anything large format. It's all small stuff. I mean, he can't send us like a high-res picture of it.
Of
whatever we put on the thing, you know.
No, it's not that. I'm talking about they ought to pay us for advertising their site. That's
right.
What I meant.
Well, that's what we do most of the time. We just promote people, and then we call them with a bill collection later.
We send to Guido. Hey, Guido, you've got to collect
the three guineas are coming.
That's right. So anyway, I just want to give you a couple ideas of some things that are interesting. As always, Jimmy's ahead of the curve. So far ahead of the curve, you can't believe. Mm-hmm. We'd called on the last show. We called the Hugo thing.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. After we did the show, Hugo announces he's basically not satisfied with the vote. He's going to continue to his socialist nirvana.
Right.
And I'm telling you, the bullets will fly
full
before ballots.
Full speed ahead.
It's either bullets or ballots.
Bullets or ballots.
My guess is bullets.
Bullets.
If the ballots lost, the bullets will fly.
That's exactly right. It's just a letter change. So, you know, you got a problem with that, man? You know,
hey,
is a bullet, is a ballot, bullet, is a bullet this time.
It's a bullet ballot.
We tried it
your way, it don't work, so we're going to try it my way now. Hey, lo siento, pero, you know, I'm going to kill your ass.
It's going to be much less for a round of bullets than a round of ballot.
That's right. So anyway, we're going to keep you posted on that. The other thing is, we're so far ahead of the curve, you know, what the hell are you doing there, EJ? What's all that background racket?
I tell you, I'm out of fun. You know, I'm at a campaign rally. What do you expect?
Are they rallying or what?
They're rallying around.
Any babes?
I'm looking at one right now.
Okay,
put her on the air.
Anyway, look, let me tell you, we're so far ahead of the. You know, they had this new article on the pain beam.
Right.
Now, you know, remember we talked about last time, we talked about the, what was it last week, the toy that they had, the new toy that they had.
The taser.
Yeah. But it was something else. They stunned the girl or whatever. We talked about.
Stunned the pregnant girl. And
yeah, but there was something that law enforcement wanted some particular, they were looking at some particular item that, it was a new item last week.
The microwave ray.
Anyway, the pain beam is one of these things that apparently puts out some kind of a burning pulse. It literally, you know, makes your skin turn like white hot or something. And
yeah, I think it's like a microwave type of thing.
Anyway, we talked about it about 6 months ago.
Right.
And now it's hitting the news again. Of course, Jimmy's way ahead of the curve on this, 6 months ahead of the curve.
Right.
And let me just read the article here. This is from about a week ago. Burglars break into an apartment hoping to pick up some expensive electronics or jewelry, but they're out again empty-handed within seconds, with howling with pain and surprise. They've been driven back by waves of intolerable heat. Entering the apartment is like stepping into a furnace. On the ADS, the active denial system, the ultimate in home protection, among other uses, also known as the pain beam, ADS is a revolutionary non-lethal weapon that uses microwaves that could cause burning pain without injury. The 95 gigahertz waves only penetrate a fraction of an inch, heating the outer surface of the target's skin. According to the Air Force, nobody can tolerate the beam for more than 5 seconds. And improvised protection such as wrapping yourself in a wet towel or tinfoil.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Go ahead.
And I thought, you know, it's not going to be too long. When you saw the original of this thing, it's quite a large thing. And they showed it like on an airplane, and they were, you know, maybe going to beam it. I don't know what they're going
to
do.
Well, that's to destroy missiles.
Right, but I'm talking about the simple fact, this pain beam thing, I'm figuring how long is it going to be before the local law enforcement decides to use this instead of a taser. I mean, once they get a toy.
Don't pain me, bro.
Yeah, don't pain me, bro. Right, exactly.
It's non-lethal so far.
So far, right. But I mean, you know, I don't care. You could call it a fraction of an inch if you want. But if you heat the top half a nanometer of somebody's skin to white hot sun temperature, yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to bubble,
right?
Yeah. Or something. Yeah. So it might not be lethal, but it's going to pain. But along with this, an interesting article. This is part of my bubblegum routine, wrapper routine. Sega and NeuroSky they're getting ready to market some mind control toys.
Right.
Sega and NeuroSky are uniting to make toys controlled by the power of thought. NeuroSky is usually seen on the conference circuit as a headset clamped to a player's beady, sweated pate, from whence where it monitors the electrical impulses within. Though it's quite limited now, your tetsu, whatever-like mental concentration is measured as only a single axis right now. Provides a strange feeling of having kind of an extra limb. I'd like to have one of those. not up there, maybe, but... Details on the Sega 2 toys are not offered, unfortunately, so the end results are left to our imaginations. Okay, following our earlier coverage and hands-on review of NeuroSky, when I physically crush my enemies in Half-Life 2 mod, I have some ideas about a game where you have no actual weapon but wander around and make people's heads explode by maxing out your brainwave focus. Oh, I forget. This is a kid's story. So anyway, you marry this with the pain beat.
Right.
There I mean, how long go. Is it going to be?
Not long.
And you just think, and your opponent, or this is good for crowd control.
Right.
Burst into flame. I love it.
No, this is it. This is where we're headed.
Did you notice that NeuroSky only needs a T, and you have all the actual letters to make Skynet?
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. Oh, no.
Hello.
Just launch satellites at 5.
No.
Not long before they link them all together, and there's a computer running.
And then take the humans out of the loop.
Right.
That's it. The stupid humans. We take them out of the loop.
Kill all humans.
That's it.
Kill. I was having the most wonderful dream. I think you all were in it.
Kill all humans. Kill all humans.
Bender, wake up!
I was having the most wonderful dream. I think you were in it.
Listen, Bender, where's your bathroom?
Bath what?
Bathroom.
What room?
Bathroom.
What?
I am sitting here on my Mac here. I've got my new fancy new G5. I love it. I've got the Bender movie, whatever it is.
Right.
But I haven't finished watching it yet. So we're taping, run through a audio descrambler thingy here. We'll have some of the sound bites we'll be able to use. Illegally, of course. Okay, so so we don't have a problem with that. I did notice where this girl on Flickr, one of those YouTube or something, no, on YouTube, she had a lot of her, she's a photographer, And apparently when people were making videos for YouTube, they flashed through some of her artwork, just for a nanosecond. And so she pulled all her artwork off of all her photographs off of the Flickr, wherever it was, because she said it was not a fair use, or, you know, she wouldn't be compensated or something like that.
She's just shooting herself in the foot, man.
Well, I don't know. She's apparently fairly famous. It was a big article. I don't want to go into that because I don't have it here. Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about was this, and I want to ask our Counselor Curtis about this, the judge can't be forced to divulge encryption passphrase. I mean, did you see this article?
You mean the judge won't force you to divulge your encryption password?
Yeah, what happened was this guy apparently was coming back from Canada, and they stopped him for some reason and asked him to open up his laptop, which he did, and they took a look at it, and there's like apparently child pornography all over it.
Oops.
Yeah, oops. So they
what, like
they,
little stickers or something with pictures of children getting done by donkey? What do you mean child porn on it?
That's, well, use your imagination. Well, maybe not you, but.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't do that.
Yeah, don't.
That's the last thing you want.
Pretend you're Michael Jackson for a minute.
Right.
And then, so anyway, yeah, it was.
Oh, wow, okay.
And
it, Friday, the bell.
Okay. He knows exactly how to do that. I say no more. So anyway, apparently they arrested him or something like that, and they let him go. I forget exactly what it was, but it's my understanding that they confiscated his laptop, and 2 months later they opened it up and nothing. It was all encrypted. And apparently they think that what happened was he had a PGP, which is a pretty good privacy encryption thing.
Right.
That if he didn't, you know, every 20 minutes or 30 minutes or something like that, if he didn't enter in the secret password, it would encrypt everything totally. Well, the PGP is pretty good. I mean, there's people in the government would like you not to use it. Because it's that good, it's, you know.
I'm getting one.
They don't want you having any privacy.
Yeah, right.
Password.
So anyway, the deal is that they're not able now, when they take him to court, they're not able to view the evidence.
Right. Well, the judge ruled, I would say, on our side, which is a good one. Every once in a while it happens like this, and we try to report it here to be fair and balanced. And what happened was the judge said you can't force him to cough up the password because that's self-incrimination. It's a violation of your Fifth Amendment right. And I would agree with him. I mean, in my opinion, I have a broad reading of our rights. I think that's part of the rights in general. That is, then the Ninth or Tenth Amendment tells you have to read the individual rights broadly.
Right.
And the individual
rights... they don't, of course.
Right, they don't.
Unfortunately, history for the last 60 years, they've been very narrowly construed.
Yeah, more or less... certainly not broadly all the time.
No.
And they should have been. And this was a nice broad reading of your Fifth Amendment right. And what it comes down to is there are certain things that they've been able to force you to do and certain things they've been able to not force you to or not.
Well, one is apparently like if, say, you have a safe in your house.
Right.
Can they force you to come up with a combination to it?
I believe they can.
Yeah. See, and that's what they were saying this is like.
Right. But that's a physical object, and they've drawn a distinction over the decades in physical objects versus things that are in your mind.
Well, except that the idea was that the computer was a physical object, like a safe, and in this safe was the evidence.
Right, but the password is in your mind, and...
Well, your combination is in your mind, too.
Well, to the safe, right.
Right.
What it is they can force you to turn over the key to the safe. In terms of a combination... You know, I'm guessing that these days you'd be able to use this case as a guard against that, at least some sort of influential decision to support your statement. I mean, to me, you got to go back to the original idea of why do you have a Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination? I mean, why protect somebody against incriminating themselves? I mean, why not, if you could just force them to say whatever, why not just do that? And when you look at it closely, you realize it's because that's not what you want. You don't want the authorities forcing the defendants to do anything. The idea is if they've got a good case against a defendant, the defendant can sit there like a lump on a log and still get convicted. And they have the right to testify and do all this stuff, but they don't have to. They don't want to. It provides them some measure of insulation in the procedure, in the process of the legal trial, because otherwise they could force you to do all kinds of stuff, which they're starting to get to do. For example, they can take your blood. And you'd
right.
think,
now, see, that's exactly right. They could take your blood.
Right. And you'd think, shit, that's me. I mean, you know, they're not just taking like.
They can make one of you with that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're taking a piece of you. I mean, Jesus, that's.
Well, not only that, you could be compelled to provide fingerprints.
Right.
Or voice recordings.
Right.
So a
like
lot
for
of.
For example, if somebody called up some victim and committed a crime, like, let's say, threatening them over the phone with some sort of stalking or something like that, they can force you to say the words that the perpetrator...
Hello? are you hacking into our... You know, you're on the air here, pal.
I'm getting over the flu, okay?
So they can force you to basically say words over and over again so that the victim can say, oh, yeah, that sounds like him.
Or I guess they could run it through a voice recog computer thing or something.
Well, that, of course, gets a little bit into evidence manufacturing. I mean, attorneys do a good job with hacking that stuff up, saying that they're just making up evidence.
So anyway, what you're saying is, in this particular case, I mean, would this affect some of those blood cases or fingerprints? Not those, certainly.
Well, no, because...
But certainly the key to the safe, maybe.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I would certainly argue if I had a blood case right now, I'd be thinking about appealing it based on the grounds of this case.
Yeah.
Just because, hey, it cuts back the other way. You know, it starts to say, look, you've got individual rights, and they're powerful, and they can protect you.
Of course, what they do here in Florida is if you do, at least up until recently, if you did refuse to give them, by signing your driver's license, for instance, you automatically give them, you've signed over some stuff.
Well, but it's a contract, and the remedy for the breach of that contract is they take your license.
Right.
It's not that they put you in jail or something.
Right.
Whereas in the cases where they can force you to do stuff, the remedy for you not complying is they can throw you in jail. You know, if they want to take your fingerprints and you say no, they can chuck you in jail, and they shouldn't be able to. All those cases should be scooted back towards.
Well, of course, they have a practical problem here, it seems to me, with this particular thing, and that is until they can actually read your mind. You can scream and holler all you want about getting the password.
Well, that is exactly what it goes back to. In the original idea of protecting this individual. You know, you go, if they're allowed to compel you to testify against yourself, then what they do is they sit in the room and they beat you until you say something incriminating.
Right.
And, you know, you can say all day long, oh, you know, I don't know, or I don't remember, or I don't have that information.
To get out of there, you say something incriminating, boom, you're done, and then and you're guilty.
Right.
This is the old dip them in the pond witches thing.
That's right. And the whole point
is
that
if she floats, she's a witch, and we'll kill her. If she sinks and drowns, she was okay.
Yeah. Right. She wasn't a witch.
She wasn't a witch.
Right. And so here you are in the interrogation room if they're allowed to compel testimony from you, and you have no protection. They can sit there and compel you and compel you and compel you, whatever that means. And until you...
Well, I understand...
The power of Christ compels you.
That's right. I doubt it.
The power of the government compels you.
Well, that's what waterboarding was invented for.
Well, and that's why we're using it again.
Seems to be working.
Yep, seems to be working. That's great. Okay, well, that's exciting. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see this was a lower court, of course, that did this, so they're going to appeal it, I'm sure,
No, this was a...
This was not Supreme Court. This was a... Three panel judge, I think.
Okay, on appeals court. Okay,
I think it was. Yeah, it was not the Supreme Court.
Okay,
it would have said. So anyway, that's good news. Good news for our side, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Hopefully,
it's
every
a victory for us. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, the next thing I've got. The next thing I was going to do here was, you want to talk about greenhouse gases, or you want to talk about not able to take your photos in the park? Climate.
Only wardens.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of light notes here today.
There's another Supreme Court case which we can get into real quick since we're on the court stuff.
Okay,
good to me.
And that is the crack cocaine sentencing stuff.
Right, now they're trying to equalize that out.
Right, and for our listeners who don't know, the history is...
All of our listeners do crack, so it's okay.
They know where to get it, they know what it is. They don't know that if they do it, they're not going to get as much time. If they get busted for it.
Not anymore.
Well, now let's be careful here, folks, because this is federal stuff we're talking about with the statute.
That's right.
And what that means is that they've really only cut back on what the feds can do in terms of sentencing. We don't have that 100-to-1 disparity in the state court system that they have in the federal court system. And just for our listeners who don't know, who don't use crack, the couple of you out there, the Anti-Drug Abuse Act of 1986 created... a two-tiered system, basically, relating to crack cocaine versus powdered cocaine. And literally, the guideline sentences were 100 times more devastating if you had crack cocaine versus if you had powdered cocaine.
Yeah.
And it was done all, of course, because you'll blick, No. It's done. It was done just because at the time everybody thought, oh crack, oh my god, it's awful.
Super addicting.
It was really bad.
Yeah, you're gonna rape and murder someone if you run out.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Even if you didn't take a hit, if you met somebody who took a hit of crack,
you
might rape a child.
That's right.
And so they had these strict guidelines, and so basically what the race people have come in and said, you can't have these guidelines like this, because what's happened is crack is cheap, and all the poor people buy crack. The poor people are black, and therefore you're really punishing black people with this crack sentence.
And the race card, yeah.
Right.
Well, of course, it's cheap for the first hit. After that, it gets expensive. It's my understanding it's my understanding that if you take one hit, that you might want more at that moment.
They've said that. They've said
only
that.
Only if you have an addictive personality.
Yeah.
Come on. How many of us have that?
Yeah, right. How many? Yeah. Mr. Chocolate Person. That's right.
Yeah, well, I got to go back and finish my beer because...
Well, you got to listen. We got to let somebody else call in.
Yeah.
We only have one phone line here. Sorry.
I'm tying you up. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, you know, that's great. And plus, you have to take into consideration that all the congressmen that do powdered cocaine, they don't do crack. They don't want to have 100
times. That, in a nutshell, is when you... Look, don't laugh. That is, when all is said and done, the only time the law really gets changed is when some congressman gets caught. Although, what's his name? Barry got caught, you know, doing crack.
And he got reelected
after he got out, you know.
He's still a councilman, you know. I mean, he's Ward 4 or some crap. Like, oh, my gosh.
Yep. I wonder if he's still making it with that chick. I don't know.
Well, thank you, Dr. Johnson.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure talking with you guys. And I tell you what, I'm so glad we got the phone up and running. I will... I'll call in for the next show too, and we'll be talking again.
Okay, buddy.
We'll give my love to all the Ron Paul supporters here, and all right. God bless everybody.
Bye bye.
See you soon.
Yeah. Cool.
Phone thing works.
Woo.
Yep. That's
right. So it's something that 19,500 federal inmates and their families, most of them black, are hoping that this thing's going to change. 19,500, huh?
Right. Well, again, this is just federal. It's only controlling in the federal scheme. That is to say, this law only commands people in the federal system to change whatever it is. You know, although it will be used as dicta, that is to say, it'll be used as persuasive argument in state courts nevertheless. That is to say, you know, sometimes you hear about a United States Supreme Court justice, like I think Stevens does it every once in a while. He'll quote like foreign law or something.
Yeah.
And you know,
Breyer does it.
Okay.
That's who it is. Oh my God.
You know, I say, well, in Italy, what they do
Somalia,
is,
for right. God's sakes. You know, I'm thinking, shut up.
Not, the thing is that you don't have to worry about that because they're not doing it for controlling precedent. They're not citing it as the law over the United States. They're just citing it as an example of what somebody could do that makes sense and could make sense in our scheme as well. And that's basically what hopefully the state courts will do with this federal court case is they'll say, look, we changed the guidelines for the crack cocaine in the federals, and the pendulum is shifting, and therefore we need to apply this to the state courts and release some of these people as well in these mandatory sentences. It's amazing how small amount of cocaine or any Schedule I drug gets you a trafficking charge. You know,
when
you think trafficking, you think people are driving shit around in a car and stuff. No. Trafficking is like, you know,
5 grams of crack.
Exactly. Five grams or less of any Schedule I drug, and which is like an amazingly small, that's like, you know, a party for you and your friends that night.
Yep.
And it's trafficking.
Yep.
And so hopefully they'll change some of that, but.
We'll see. There's too many people.
It says that in previous years, the Sentencing Commission reduced penalties for crimes involving marijuana, LSD, and OxyContin.
Well, maybe
which are primarily committed by whites.
What were the drugs that were mentioned?
LSD, OxyContin, and marijuana.
Okay, well, OxyContin, of course, is a legal drug.
If you're prescribed it, I guess.
Right.
The others are illegal. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, unless you're prescribed it.
I don't think you'd be prescribed LSD.
No, but medical marijuana, maybe, huh?
Maybe, depending on where you are.
But again, that's in the state system. In the federal system, they still bust you for it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. But still, you can allowed to have OxyContin.
But maybe the Michael Vick thing will maybe straighten out some of this federal versus state situation.
Yeah, of course, we saw that. I was stunned to see how many people were just wanted him lynched.
Yeah.
I mean, across the board. And again, we've talked about this. This is the most ridiculous thing in the world. He's in for 23 months.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. He shouldn't have been in 23 days.
No.
It just this is an outright, I just think they're warm and they're fuzzy and everything like that, but they're another, dogs, for God's right. sakes.
That's
you know?
Another example of where a good idea becomes a bad law.
Yep, 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 it sure is. Okay, anything next on that? Anything particular? The other thing I've got, did want to talk about, was a little bit, some of the more outrageous things you saw where the student was arrested after cutting food with a knife.
Unbelievable.
This is right here locally, down here in Marion County. This is down, yes, down near yes. territory.
Unbelievable.
Thursday, school officials found her cutting her food during lunch with a knife she'd brought from home. The 10-year-old girl. Okay, this is a felony now. She's hauled off as a felony.
Right.
Sunrise Elementary School in Ocala was charged with possession of a weapon on school property, which is a felony. According to authorities, school employees spotted the girl cutting her food while she was eating lunch and took the steak knife from her. The girl told sheriff's deputies that she'd brought the knife to school more than one occasion in the past. She's 10 years old. Idiot! She didn't have one of your get-out-of-jail cards on.
Yeah, no kidding.
Students told officials that the girl did not threaten anyone with the knife. The girl was arrested and transported to the juvenile assessment center. Can you imagine? I mean, you wouldn't have the principal just walk in and say, you can't have that, darling, take it away. No.
Right.
Take it away to the juvenile. This is beyond belief.
Par for the course these yep. days, man. It is literally your kids are in jail and
they consider them, you know, just so part of the system now. Once they cross that school thing.
Well, and here's what I think about it. You're in school, if you live to 55 years old, you're in school for a third of your life.
Yep.
And you're going to live under these dictatorial conditions with no rights, search at will, for a third of your life. And this is supposed to indoctrinate good Americans? This is supposed to...
Indoctrinate is right.
It's supposed yeah. to...
You're not the indoctrinate. No, let's face it. Look, the simple fact is that the government-run school system is an indoctrination system. There's no two ways about it. I mean, here locally...
Well, the only thing that I would argue against that is there's nobody at the top, like a Himmel or anybody, that's directing the indoctrination. I mean, it's happening, but there's no centralized control over it in the conscious sense of it.
Okay, I can appreciate that. However, it's
which
still,
may be more insidious.
It is. That's the problem. There's nobody to blame.
Right.
The simple fact is, it has morphed into a PC, politically correct indoctrination system again. And what I'm saying is, and this is one of the things that I've talked here locally, is that in our 10th graders here locally, 60% of them are read below grade level, and they start off in the third grade with only 30% reading below grade level. The simple fact is that, at least here locally, our school system is a failure. It is a failure, and they have everything. They have a monopoly. They have compulsory attendance. That is to say, you can't choose not to attend these schools. And even if you attend a private school, which means you're paying twice, it has to be accredited some way. There's an inspection procedure. They have virtually autonomous on their money, because it's a separate line item on the taxes. And as I talked about in the last podcast, when they reduce property taxes, the school taxes are, since they're a separate line item, they don't get reduced. They still get their money no matter what. They have their meetings. Now, I won't say completely in secret. There is an announcement in the paper, but only about, maybe a third or a quarter of them actually get, quote, broadcast on our channel here. And to the extent where nobody actually shows up, because of the way they're held. And so they've got their own license plate. I mean, that goes to the school system. And of course they've got the buses that transport them all around. There's a big hoorah going on right now. They're going to rezone some of the high schools.
It's an amazing institution.
Well, I mean, the fact is they have everything going for them. And all we ask is say, would you just please, would you teach our kids how to read, write, and arithmetic? That's all you're asking. We're giving you carte blanche, monopoly power, all the money and everything.
And
that's all we're asking you to do. And you can't even do that. In fact, you can't even get half the kids.
And that's the difference, right in a nutshell, between a coerced system and the free market.
That's right.
The free market, the kids come to the educators.
Right.
The kids pay the educators, and they take advantage of the education.
That's right.
In the coerced system, the kids are brought to the educators, and they try to leave as often as possible.
They do try. And again, you don't have to know anything else about a system that it makes it that if you don't go to it, they come and arrest the parents and take the kids away. And that if you skip school, I thought it was always interesting, if you skip school, the penalty is suspension.
Right.
they kick you out of school for a couple of days for skipping school. I mean, right. Oh, God, it's
makes all kinds of sense.
Yeah, it does.
Well, you saw that teacher got arrested for writing bomb or something in a blog or whatever.
Yeah, no, that's right. I didn't pull that down. Yes, I saw it. That looked fascinating.
Well, we mentioned this. Yeah, basically, this teacher wrote in her blog something about the Columbine and taking people out one by one and whatever. And Yeah, if you read into it, like, really...
They knew, the comment was, they knew how to deal with the overpaid teachers' union thugs one shot at a time.
Yeah. He was praising the Columbine killers.
Right.
Right.
And
it was a teacher doing it.
Right.
They got her ass.
And added, they should be remembered as heroes.
And so this is apparently inferred by somebody as an actual threat. And this should try to warn our listeners how subtle your comment can be and still be inferred as a threat. As a serious threat, and they went and arrested this person.
Right. Well, not only that, and this is
they decided
this
not to charge
even,
her.
This wasn't even at an airport. I mean, if you cross into the airport door, if you mention the word bomb or hijack,
well, that's what the captain in this case said. Well, you restrict people's speech at airports.
Right.
Why not
here?
Anywhere.
And of course, that is the slippery slope. I mean, that is a good. The answer to that question is. Plenty, why not?
Right.
I'll tell you exactly why
it's
not.
It's because otherwise you cannot have discussion that involves dissent.
Yeah. Well, I noticed, by the way, that the here locally, you know, we had the gal, the vice president of student affairs here at the University of Florida, as you know, put out that notice calling for an apology by the kids that put on the Obsession movie. Remember we talked about that? We talked about that thing at the University of Florida. Oh, God. I think this is the last podcast.
Burr?
Yeah, exactly. They had put up a notice around campus that said, watch this movie. It's about Islamic terror, Islamo-fascist terrorists or something. And the vice president of student affairs called on them to apologize to the peaceful Muslims. Apparently some of the Muslims at the University of Florida complained. They said, wait a minute, this is a broad base, putting a brush on us that we don't deserve. And the answer by the people that were showing this Obsession movie said, no, we didn't say anything about Muslims. We said Islamo-fascist, whatever. And that's what the movie was about. The movie was about terrorism and how it's ruining things and so forth. So the vice president of student affairs lady, it was on the big news. It was all nationwide. She wrote a letter and calling a fairly extensive letter, said, we don't tolerate that sort of thing. And she called on the people.
Don't make their own movie. That's what
I'm saying. She said she called on the people that showed the movie to apologize to the Muslim community. And there was a big hoorah here. I mean, people were writing and saying, why? You know, if they're offended, that's their problem. I mean, the movie was a legitimate movie. It was a real live movie, and it was being shown, and it was being advertised. They put the notices up all over campus. Interestingly enough, in the last 2-3 days, I think, this lady issued a retraction of the apology email that said, okay, you don't have to apologize anymore. So apparently the flack had actually got, I mean, it was like on Neil Bortz, it was everything. I mean, people were
well, good. I mean, especially on campus, you need to have open.
Well, the letter had said, we're so interested in diversity and expression of opinion, but this goes too far. We need this kind of opinion and this kind of diversity. And it wasn't anything like that. I mean, people were saying, whoa, this is exactly what you want. I mean, this is precisely what is guaranteed. And on this open campus, we talk to everybody kind of thing. And she had read it as, not inciting a rioter, and I will say this, I mean, it was only a suggestion. She didn't want commanding anybody to do an apology, but the fact is it came from the vice president of student affairs. As Neil Bortz said, he doesn't trust any woman with a hyphenated last name anyway, but, you know, that's another story. So the point is that it created a big enough hoorah that apparently there was a CYA of a CYA, and she wrote another one that said, oops. I didn't say that. It said, you know, in the interest of reverse
comedy,
more diversity. In fact, you don't have to apologize, or don't. We're not even suggesting that anymore. You know, we're open campus here, whatever. Something that I thought was interesting.
And you also saw that Miller Sports School is locked down after the broken thermometer.
That was unbelievable.
I love EJ's EJ's title on that one. Micron of mercury masquerades Miller Sport.
Yeah. Miller Sport. It was Miller Sport High School. Right. They came into the science room in the morning and found a broken thermometer on the floor. Okay. Now, I mean, the amount of mercury is molecular.
Right.
Out of a thermometer. They locked down the school. Now, when lockdown means that everybody goes to the room and they lock the door in their classroom. Nobody's out. And, you know, and they called in
the Miller Sport Fire Department and the Licking County Health Department.
Licking County. I mean, how would you like to be from Licking County? It's bad enough being from Alachua County. You know what I mean? But Licking County, I'm not sure. I mean, that's like, I'm from Horror County, Texas.
No students came in contact with the mercury.
Can you imagine? I mean, none. Oh, my God. And I mean, we're talking about here a drop? How much is in a thermometer?
I mean, it's like you said, it's not even a milliliter. I mean, it's
nothing. Yeah. So, I mean, they lock down the school. Wait, this is I don't want to say we're a bunch of pansies in this country, or at least in that school, but if you're locking down a school for that much mercury, the terrorists have won.
Absolutely.
I mean, here's the deal. I've got, or let me put it this way. I understand that not too far from here, there's located more mercury than that. and can you imagine you take a handful of that and fling it into some place or another? And I mean, pandemonium. That's right. It. Done. Lock down the whole town.
Right.
It's sort of like we were talking about, you know, a year ago on the throwing the pennies.
Well, no, throwing the bullet shells.
The bullet shells in England.
England.
We haven't heard from Bernie recently. Yeah, I wonder where Bernie. English, British correspondent, you say? UK correspondent, hey, Bernie.
Yeah, so yeah, we know how to, again, if you ever need to have a diversion, mercury and bullet shells are great ways to do it.
Maybe mercury covered bullet shells.
Oh, that ain't mercury tipped bullet shells.
That's it. No, let me tell you, for what it's worth, I guess you know this, if you clean up a bullet shell and soak it in mercury, it coats it very nicely.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, that's, I heard.
You heard.
So anyway, yeah, that'll be fun. That's a great mercury coated. It just doesn't get any, but it's like the Lone Ranger and a silver bullet. This is my mercury bullet, man. That's great. I love it. Okay, you want to take a short break now?
Sure.
Must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine, plowman dig my earth. None will level on the mine, nobody up in this world. To get it.